Hey guys, it's Alana Lintow, and you're watching a coming of age movie.
What's up, everyone? I'm Kira.
And I'm Julia. Welcome and welcome back to a coming of age movie.
This week, we're super excited to be joined by Alana Lintow.
You may know her from her TikTok account, where she has accumulated almost 40 million likes.
Alana, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
How has your week been?
I'm pretty busy. I just jumped right back into school after winter break, so.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty long break. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know when it started, but we started back on Monday, so.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And we actually had a snow day yesterday, though, so.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
We had a nice long weekend. So anyway, pretty general question, but I feel like everyone's got their own story, so it's got to be asked. How did COVID personally affect you, and how has your life changed because of it?
Ooh, okay, that's kind of a deep question. So I like to think of COVID as like a really positive thing. I know obviously a lot of people have died, which is incredibly devastating, but you know, you can kind of change the way that you react to something. So I kind of took it as like, okay, I'm never gonna have this much free time again and everyone is gonna be on their phones. So that is when my social media journey kind of like really took off. Is when everyone was forced to be at home and on their electronics because everyone's bored. Like, what are you gonna do when you're just stuck at home? So I took that and I started on TikTok and it just blew up from there. I actually started on social media when I was 5, but like it wasn't like as big and obviously it didn't really go anywhere until I hopped on TikTok. But yeah, I took it as a very character development, if you will.
And like you were saying, you basically started during the pandemic. And so how has that kind of changed your experience as like an influencer since you can't really travel as much or, you know, things are a little bit different?
Yeah, I would say it hasn't actually really affected me in the influencer kind of space. But right before COVID hit, I had just started branching off into acting and modeling. And those kind of really got like shot because, you know, you can't really travel anywhere. Like the opportunities kind of went down there, which is why I started taking social media more seriously because it's at home, it's remote. Like it was just easier. So. Mm-hmm.
And for anyone who doesn't already keep up with you online, can you explain what kind of content you create?
Yeah. So my niche is pretty much comedy. I'm trying to incorporate more like informational and like positive content because I don't want to just be like taken as a joke like all my life, you know, because it started to like turn into people don't know when to take me seriously or not. Like I remember I posted something for my birthday and they were like, oh my gosh, this is literally me when it's my birthday. I'm like, wait, no, it's like actually my birthday. So like they can't tell when I'm joking now, which is why I'm trying to like take it into a more like serious, positive, motivational content kind of turn, but for the most part, comedy. I really enjoy making like parodies and skits, just overall like very positive.
And they're hilarious, by the way, your videos.
They are.
And so over the past like 2-ish years, your social media has been rapidly growing. So can you give us a little bit of a timeline of, you know, I know you said you started during quarantine basically, but kind of like when you started and when you started blowing up, like what videos started doing well and how you kind of decided what your like account would be like?
Right. So I started, well, okay, I was in Musical.ly, which is, we're going to leave that in the past. We're just gonna but I started on TikTok probably December, November of 2019, like actually posting every day. I privated most of them because that's literally embarrassing, but
also a good idea.
I first blew up in April of 2020 and I went viral for actually like being a YouTuber, which is really weird because I originally had started as a YouTuber, so I thought it was really cool that I could kind of like make fun of myself in a way. But I started making videos with that kind of like quirky YouTube editing and it really took off from there. I had no idea that people would like it. Like I remember I made that video at 11 p.m. and I was not gonna post it. If I didn't post that video, I don't know where I would be right now, but it's crazy to think about. And yeah, so I guess it just really took off in April and then people kind of started getting tired of like the YouTube kind of format. So the second half of 2020, I kind of took that to start diversifying my content. And now I play a bunch of characters. Like, I play a lot of characters. I could play waitresses, teachers, like mean girls. It's all over the place. But yeah, I think that pretty much covers everything.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting how you said, like, you don't really know where you would be if you didn't post that one video, because that's, like, such a TikTok thing. I feel like on YouTube or other platforms, you really need to grow, and, like, every video you make will just, like, kind of add on to who you are. Right. But with TikTok, you can post one video, and it just sets who you are, like, forever.
Exactly. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So out of all the videos you've made, what's, do you have, like, a favorite video that you have made, or, like, a kind of video that you've made?
I really enjoy all of the videos that have been, like, a collaborative effort. So, like, anything with other creators. I've got to film with Alana Clem, just different people in my niche, like Skylar, Haley, Duncan, Jazzy. They're all amazing. And I just really like being able to connect with other influencers. And it's a lot more fun if you have other people in your videos, because it's not so, like, you don't have that much pressure on you because it's a collaborative group effort. But I also really enjoy any kind of, like, recreating skits from movies. I think that's so funny, and I love making those kinds of videos.
Do you have a favorite movie or favorite movie to, like, a movie that kind of inspired some of your parodies? Because, I mean, we're a coming-of-age movie, so we love the whole, you know, character, you know, the main character that's...
Yeah, you know, like, main character Monday.
Yeah, get... yeah. Okay, she knows. She knows.
I know. I did my research too.
Oh my god.
So yeah, do you have a favorite coming of age movie or movie in general to kind of base your videos off of?
Yeah, a majority of the videos that I take inspiration from are, like, the coming of age movies, because, like, they're all, like, the teen Netflix ones, and, you know, there's kind of some, like, cringy moments in those movies, and I really take those and just, like, blow it out of proportion. So I like those, like, gosh, what is it called? Like, The Kissing Booth. What are the other Netflix original movies?
Like, To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
Yes, that one, uh-huh. They're just, like, all of those. I think it's so funny.
Yeah, we have very mixed opinions on coming of age, which is funny, right? Considering we named a podcast after it, but
yeah, that's ironic.
But they're funny. They're, like, I don't know. It's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
I think, like, the perfect way to describe it is just like any plot of, like, a Riverdale episode, because, like,
yes, yeah.
Just, like, it's gonna have something in there.
I know. Yeah.
And you also make a lot of YouTuber parodies. So do you have a favorite YouTuber or a favorite YouTuber to parody?
I think where I took most of my inspiration from with those videos is Emma Chamberlain and Lorray, which is actually funny. Just this past November, I actually ran into Lorray, at least I think. I still don't know if it was actually him or not, but he was filming a YouTube video, and so was I, and we were both on Roblox, and it was crazy. So technically I did collab with him, but he doesn't know that, so.
he doesn't know, but we did.
Yeah. But I also really look up to Emma Chamberlain. I think it's so cool how she was able to take social media and kind of turn it into, like, she has her own coffee brand, and she even got into, like, modeling, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do with my platform as well, like, take it and help it to launch me into different careers, like modeling, acting, stuff like that.
Yeah, and social media is a really, like, helpful tool for that, and, like, that's not something that used to exist, but now it's, like, it's a really great way to get into other industries, like acting and modeling, like you were saying.
Right.
And so, like, we're talking about you model. So can you kind of give a little bit of that, how you started with that and kind of the things that you model for and some of the goals you have with that?
Right. So I actually modeled before I blew up on TikTok, but I didn't really take it seriously. And it's funny because I actually, like, was never looking to do it. Like, I was using Instagram as a way to get dancing gigs, because that was, like, my main thing at the time, and I was using, like, hashtags, like, New Jersey dancer, New York dancer, just so people could, like, scout me, and I actually got scouted to model in a Visa photo shoot, and it was so unexpected, because I really had no modeling experience prior to that, so it's crazy to think that, like, that was my first gig. Ever since then, I kind of just have always been using Instagram to look for modeling gigs, because I actually really enjoyed it. I love being on set and, like, getting my makeup done and meeting new people. Yeah, I think I'm really not sure my goals for modeling yet. I just know I'd say in my future, modeling is definitely going to be like one of the things that's going to be there in the long run. At least I hope, because for social media, you really can't predict like anything. Like you don't know when TikTok's going to die. You don't know when YouTube's probably going to be around for a while, but
Yeah.
I saw one of your videos. You said something like Charli D'Amelio keeps making those like what was that like platform that like almost replaced TikTok, everyone like thought was going to?
Oh, Triller.
Yeah, she's like she keeps making Triller videos and I'm scared, so I'm coming to YouTube.
I was like, why are they paying her so much money to go over there?
Was like the scariest time period. Like when it's
Yeah.
like oh watch check out the rest of this video on my
I
Triller. I'm
know. I
like,
was like,
what the
what?
heck?
She knows something we don't know. I was like, oh my gosh, do I need to start posting on YouTube again? Like, I'm so scared.
Yeah, exactly. It's so unpredictable and it's kind of freaky.
So, getting a little deeper, I noticed in one of your videos, an agency told you that in order to sign with them, your weight can't fluctuate, which is like one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So, how do you deal with some of like those negative aspects of the industry and also make sure that you're able to stay true to yourself?
Well, for starters, I didn't sign with that agency, thank God. So, I think it's just the matter of finding the right agency. Like I've put off signing with an agency for so long now just because of what you just said. Like I know a lot of girls that have been in modeling agencies and they kind of like lose themselves because their agencies take them and like shape them into what they want them to look like, and they don't really get a say in that because at the end of the day, I remember this one agent, I don't think I'm allowed to say this, but it's a coming of age movie. It's okay. She was like, essentially, you are the product. She's like, I'm gonna be blunt. Like, you guys are the product, and you have to like stay in shape in order for us to like kind of sell you. I was like, oh gosh, that was kind of straightforward. But yeah, I think it's just a matter of finding a good, reliable agency that won't let it get to that point of like you losing yourself in order to book a couple gigs or whatever.
Yeah, it's really scary because I feel like teenagers like already have enough pressure or like and feeling like they need to be perfect and have their body look like this and look at that. And then like when you kind of put your career on the line saying like if you gain a pound, you will not get work. That's kind of
Yeah.
scary.
Yeah,
So
you literally just
that's
like put it into words, all of my thoughts.
you. So yes, it's important to kind of remember that. And also like it's not just like physical things. I feel like a lot of pressure is put on like the amount of followers you have or the amount of likes that you get. So how do you kind of feel about that whole obsession with numbers that especially teenage influencers are dealing with these days?
Yeah, I've actually thought about that a lot, and I kind of let my life become like a numbers game at a point. Because it applies to a lot. It's my followers, my views, my bank account, like my grades. It's all just like at a point in my life, everything was like about numbers. And I think just kind of like stepping away and looking at the big picture helped me to kind of like come back down to earth and like realize that like numbers aren't everything. And like kind of separating my work life from my personal life, and yeah, just taking breaks because social media can be like really overwhelming.
And honestly, the numbers, like, not to like put values on people, but like, there have been people like, we've talked to that we've seen online who have like, a really large amount of followers, but then like, their followers don't really interact with them as much. They don't really like know as much about them. And it's kind of like just a number. But then like people with like smaller fan bases like have these like huge followings and like more people actually care about the videos and like interact with them more. I don't know. It's just like the numbers don't really mean anything like when you look at it like that.
Yeah, and a little off topic, but I watch a lot of Twitch streams and stuff, and I've watched so many like interviews with the actual Twitch streamers, and the whole time it's like what you were saying, like it's so hard to just like see that number there the whole time. And like I've seen so many things where people are like, I just have to turn it off to be able to like actually even just like make content that I like, because it's like the pressure is just so like always present right there.
Right. Yeah, it is a lot of pressure. I can't imagine being a Twitch streamer though, because like I can kind of like step away from it, but the live streamers, like they have to like stay on and be entertaining like 24/7, and they can see like when people
Exactly.
leave their stream. I could not handle that, bro. I can't handle hate comments. I would not be.
Yeah, like we went live to record an episode one time, and the whole time, like Even just like, I remember I was like setting up the microphone, but I was so distracted by like the number and the comments. I was like, oh yeah, oh, happy new year. I could not focus because I was like, gotta stay interesting, gotta keep people on. Like it's hard.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that either social media or modeling has taught you about the entertainment industry or just life in general?
I think social media and the modeling industry have taught me that you can't really take people's opinions to heart. They're almost as equally as affecting, because modeling, you know, you don't get booked for a gig. It's purely based on the fact that they don't like your look, or they think there's like someone better than you for the role. And then social media or anything, like people will tell you you're pretty for like a shout out. People will, and then there's also the flip side of that where people will hate on you for attention. And I think just kind of blocking all of it out in a way. I mean, obviously it's good to look at positive comments, but even then sometimes I can kind of like overvalue the positive comments, so that when I get a hate comment, I don't know how to handle it, because I'm like, oh my gosh, like I just got all these positive comments, like how am I supposed to take that? So I think just kind of stepping away from it again. Yeah,
I like you put like how you're saying even the positive comments sometimes, like, not like, I mean obviously they have good intentions, but sometimes they can even be harmful, because you start putting, you know, your own personal worth, like it's exactly. All it's whatever these people say, whatever they say, that's what it is, and that's just right. Like not what you want, especially when you don't know these people and they don't really know you either.
Mm-hmm. Again, you put it into words.
And so also you've, like you mentioned, you've gotten to collab with and meet a lot of really cool other influencers and creators. So can you tell us about either a really good experience or maybe a bad experience? You can leave names out, of course, if you don't want to cause drama, but do you have any fun stories?
Oh yeah, I do actually. I used to look up to these influencers, and I was actually put in a group chat with them, and I was like, oh my gosh, like how did I get to this point? And then I actually like slid into the group chat, whatever. And they were like trying to like help us with, cause it was like well-known influencers and then like people just starting me. And they were giving us tips, and they were like, yeah, so number one, don't reply to your followers or like their comments, cause it makes you look desperate. And I was like, oh my gosh, no. Like they're the people that are like paying your bills, like,
yeah,
that,
they are why you have the following, so.
Yeah, exactly. I don't get it, so I will continue to look desperate. Thank you for that though.
Yeah, that's such a thing too. I feel like a lot of people, like once you get into like a certain, I mean with like every industry, like it happens to so many actors, like with like I looked up to this person, then I met them and I was like, what, like you are not who I thought you were or whatever. Yeah. it sucks.
And so are there any cool things that you've gotten to do because of your online following?
Yeah, a lot. Actually, just in November of 2021, I was flown out to LA by two brands, Girls Life Magazine and Barbizon. They're so sweet. And a big part of that was actually thanks to my followers, because I was in a modeling contest and it was like a voting contest. So my audience really helped me out in that, and they voted for me a lot and they flew me out and I won.
Yay!
That's so cool.
The whole experience was so fun. Like I said, I love modeling and being on set, and everyone was so nice. It was so cool.
That's awesome. And do you have any weird or cool fan experiences that you can share with us?
Yeah. Uh-oh. This one always comes to mind. So I'm not shading them or anything at all. I think it was so funny, but I was at Six Flags with my friend. And so we had just got off this ride. My hair's a mess. Like we were upside down, literally flying. So we go into this cafe cause we're hungry. And these two girls behind me, they're like, Alana. And I was like, what? And then they were like, oh my gosh, it is her. I was like, and then I talked to them and everything, and they were in my vlog, but I was like, how did you guys find me? And I was talking about like where on social media, because I kind of diversified my content this past year with like being on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, so I like never know where they find me from. But they were like, oh, we followed you off the roller coaster. I was like, wait, what?
Not what I meant, but thanks for letting me know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and they were Six Flags workers. So I was like, hold on. Did they, like, stop operating the rides to, like, follow me in here? There's just, like, people stuck on the rides up there.
It's like, King Dakar's closed until further notice.
They're stuck at the top.
I mean, at least they weren't, like, we followed you from, like, your house. Like,
yeah, that's a plus.
Yeah, we saw you walking down the street a couple days ago, and we were like, you know.
Like, I think she's going to Six Flags. We're going to follow her. Oh, that's terrifying.
Anyway. So, besides going to Six Flags, are there things that, like, you like to do for fun when you're not working, like a favorite hobby?
I'd say dancing. Dancing for me has always been kind of like a, how do you say this? A creative outlet, and it helps me kind of, like, get my emotions out, as, like, cliche as that sounds, because, like, there's a lot of good songs out there, and, like, they can really pull the emotion out of you, and I can really get into it sometimes. So dancing, I've been meaning to get back into that, actually, because I haven't been in studio in a while just because of COVID, but I definitely want to be getting into that again sometime in the future. Dancing, yeah, I'd say that's pretty much it. I also love hanging out with my friends, of course. So.
Is there a certain kind of dancing you prefer to do? Like, do you have, like, a favorite? I'm so not style. Like, good terms. Yes, style.
Yeah, yeah. You know, she's the main character. No, probably ballet, which is funny because I used to hate ballet when I was little, but I, it was mostly because, like, my teachers, you know, I don't know if you guys kind of relate to this, but if you, like, really like something, sometimes people can, like, take the passion away from you, if that makes sense, because, you know, if you really enjoy doing something and then someone's kind of, like, just, like, crapping on you, I don't know, it's just, like, that's part of why I kind of am trying to keep dancing off of social media, because I don't want people to, like, take that away from me, because that's, like, the one thing that I have that's not online, and I would hate for that to kind of be taken away from me. But yeah, I found a love for ballet again, and I've always loved hip-hop.
Well, two things. One, ballet teachers, I feel like, in general, are just terrifying because they're so old-fashioned. Not all of them, of course, but they're just so classically trained, and it's terrifying.
Yeah, no, you're right. They're in ballet, from a young age, you're taught that there's a right and a wrong, and yeah, there's no creative, like, direction there. Like, you have to be perfect. So
yeah, and then you go to hip-hop, and it's, like, not.
Yeah, exactly.
So, both ends. And second, I think it's so important that you were saying, like, that you're keeping it off social media because it's, like, your thing. I think it's so important for people, especially when, like, basically your job is social media, like, to have something separate that you can just go to whenever you just need to unplug and not, yeah, I think that's so important. Mm-hmm. And are there any fun facts or something that your fans wouldn't know about you just from following you online?
Yeah, probably that I'm in college. Like, it's funny because a lot of my hate comments that come from, like, older guys, I don't know what's in the air over on YouTube, but every time I use YouTube Shorts as a way to kind of cross promote my TikToks because I'm trying to get to 100,000 subscribers. I really want that silver plaque, but everyone over there, like, my audience over there, because it's so new, is, like, a middle-aged man, and every time I post, it's like they've woken up on the wrong side of the bed. I don't know what they're sipping on over there, but it's still a good way to cross promote.
So what do they say about you being in college?
Oh, right, that I was like, where did I go with that? A lot of them are like, oh, I just know she dropped out of high school, and I'm like, oh, okay, I really want to reply to you so bad and show you my credentials, but I'm gonna have
can't look desperate.
That's, like, one of my most common hate comments, which is so weird to me, but I graduated high school when I was 15, which is great because I've been doing online school since I was in kindergarten, so, like, when COVID hit, this was, like, nothing new to me. I was like, oh my gosh, I've been in online school for so long now. But yeah, and I'm a junior in college now.
We're juniors in high school and we're 17, so
yeah, I'm 17 too.
Good job. Can I ask, like, what you're studying in college or what you're kind of working
on? I'm studying marketing. I kind of wanted something stable, but I wanted to be able to be creative in that. So
are you me? Like, I think
really, are you
it's such a girl. Oh, I'm not gonna get into it.
Oh my gosh.
No, I'm sitting here, like, I'm like, I'm going to go into film, but also, oh my God, I really want to be able to make money and not be struggling.
Yes, paycheck.
That's, so yeah, right, that's now that's the plan. What? Sorry.
Yeah, I want it to be secure, but it's like your heart is telling you one thing, but your head is like, you need to be able to make money. Like.
Oh yeah, definitely going to do that right now.
But if it was up to me, I would do social media full time and like modeling full time, but it's just not realistic right now. So,
well, luckily, like, I feel like in this day and age, like, everything kind of crosses over each other. So, like, marketing, there's a lot of social media marketing, and it goes into, you know, like, influencer agencies and all that. Like, everything kind of crosses over. So, you should be able to find something good in the middle, you know?
This day and age.
Yeah, this day and age.
So do you have any future goals or plans that you can share with us?
I've been thinking about that. So I've been working on my New Year's resolutions. But a lot of them last year were very numbers based, like I said. And I'm trying to like stay away from that. Like I said, I want to get my 100K subscriber plaque from YouTube. I think that would be so cool. And I also want to hit 1 million followers on TikTok. But I have a lot of like personal goals for this year. Like I want to read like at least 10 books, trying to become that girl. But and
that's one of mine too.
Just live a healthier lifestyle and cut back on my screen time. Like that has been a severe downfall in my year. Last year, I was like looking in my screen time and I was like, whoa, how did I spend 12 hours on TikTok?
It's hard when it's like basically your job, but
yeah, that too.
But it's like I'm not posting videos, I'm watching videos. So oops. And what's one piece of advice that you can give to our listeners about social media or life or anything?
Probably if you're in the social media space, I'd say consistency. I mean, even like with what you guys are doing, consistency is important. I'm sure you can agree with that.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, the algorithms aren't going to reward inconsistent posting or anything like that. And just personal, like, really know your value. I think that's something that I really struggled with, because I read something where it was like, if someone's able to like anger you or upset you, it's because you're off balance with yourself. And I think that's why I was taking hate comments so personally, is because I didn't have like a secure foundation in myself and I wasn't like confident. That's something I'm trying to work on this year as well. So I'm not like a doormat, but just knowing your value and self-worth.
And don't be a doormat.
Yeah.
Well, Alana, thanks so much for coming on. We had such a great time talking with you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. And if anyone wants to follow you on social media, where can they do that?
TikTok and Instagram at Alana Lintow, and my YouTube is Alana Lintow.
And to anybody listening at home, please make sure to follow our Instagram and TikTok, where we are at acoim.podcast, and our Twitter at acoim_podcast. Follow us there to keep up and hear about more awesome guests like Alana.
And as always, thank you all so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on A Coming of Age Movie.